Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations before moving into the sales arena and becoming. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Hello, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Today is Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. Today is show number 91. Can you believe that? Boy, whoo. I just have to catch my breath when I say that, 91, right? Who would have thought that I would even have done one? Who would have thought this is almost 2 years now, right? So almost two complete years of doing On Air with Russell of Hotels. And I appreciate everyone that listens, to the one or two people that listen in or the one or two people that watch me on Facebook Live and Zoom and all that kind of stuff. So I do appreciate that. So we're LA Talk Radio. We're LATalkRadio.com. We Zoom the show and it's Zoomed to Facebook Live, just so you know. So it's a radio show. It's a talk show. You can see me, you know, for people that are on that will be on a podcast later, because as I always mention, it is a live show. Like I said, we got a late start today, but that's okay. The show must go on, right? It's 1:10 now. But when the show is over, it becomes a podcast. So for the people that only listen to the podcast, you know, maybe one day you want to check out the Facebook Live thing just so you can see me and, you know, see some of my antics, because it doesn't, you know, me speaking doesn't take the place of me, you seeing me and me, you know, with my hand gestures and all that kind of stuff, right? And my looks and things like that. So, but anyway, thank you so much. Anyway, connecting people and collaboration, that's what we're all about. Hashtag hospitality unplugged. Like I said, it's show number 91. And I'm all about this year, 2021, I'm all about being a disruptor of the status quo. What does that mean? Well, you're going to get into that. You know, a marketing disruptor of the status quo. You know how like marketing is just so, you know, they don't throw a lot of things in there. They don't, it's everything just kind of smooth and things like that. Well, I'm all about disrupting, you know, the status quo. I mean, if you're used to it one way, I'm going to give it to you another way. So that's what that means. Industry news. Let's just get started. Let's just get into it, right? I'm on fire today, just so you know. Although we got a late start, I'm still on fire. I'm ready to go. So industry news, MPI Southern California chapter. And just for people that didn't know, I'm in Los Angeles. And so I want to thank everyone for joining us wherever you're joining us from or wherever you're listening or watching from. So I do appreciate that. But I just want to give a quick check that I'm in Southern California. And I just mentioned MPI Southern California chapter. Their State of the Union or State of the Industry address will be, is that next Wednesday, January 28th, 2021. Time is 10:30 a.m. to 12. I just signed up for that. So go to MPISCC.org probably and to find it, just MPI Southern California chapter. So go ahead and check that out. I'm going to be on there, and a lot of other people are going to be on there as well. But I just signed up, so I just want to let people know that that's coming up in the next week or next week. Yeah, next week. Gosh, it is next week. Okay, so there you go. MPI Southern California Chapter State of the Industry Address. So you're going to get a lot of, you know, people from the LACVB and probably other local speakers and things like that, talking about what's going on in the, you know, the midst of COVID, what's going on with meetings, what's going on with travel, what's going on with, you know, business, you know, everything, business travel, all that kind of stuff. So tune in, check it out. Traveling for work to attend a meeting. What is this? Oh, you know what? I'm looking at this stuff. I'm like, who put this in here? Who wrote these notes for me? Because I didn't even get what the heck I was reading. Anyway, okay. So what I do is I'll put bullet points, but sometimes I'll put something in front of it, in front of a bullet point to kind of jar my memory. Like, why did I put that? Why did I even put that down? Right? Why did I write that? And I didn't even recognize the writing. Like, traveling for work to attend a meeting. Okay. And I've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. You know, we talked about like liability and things like that. When people start having meetings, you know, is it required to go to work? I mean, go to this meeting out of town and risk coming back with something? You know, so if employers gave the choice, meaning, okay, either you've been going to this meeting for umpteen years, but all of a sudden, you know, COVID hit. So, you know, people are kind of wary about, you know, am I going to start traveling? Am I, you know, whatever, is it going to be mandatory that I go? Well, if they give the option, meaning, okay, you have the option to go to this meeting in DC, or you can do it from home, you can do it virtual. Okay, so that way it kind of puts the onus or the responsibility on that associate or that employee, which means it reduces the company liability. That's what it's coming at. That's what I'm trying to say, right? So it reduces the company's liability if you give choices. At least that's what I'm reading. That's what I'm hearing from, you know, some law experts that deal with meetings and things like that. So that's what they're saying. So you heard that first on Air with Russell of Hotels, just so you know, all right? So no one else is talking about that, at least on the radio show, okay, or a Facebook Live show. So, and we're the number one show, so I break the news first. So so there you go. So you're going to be given the choice, or some employees, you know, people that will be given the choice to go. If not, you remember last week I mentioned meetings would be, it'd be 70% people that are going to be doing it virtual, and then 30% are going to be in person or live. Those are numbers that Russell of Hotels is coming up with. Okay, so no, I didn't get those from anyone else. I'm going out on a limb and saying that's what it's going to be until further notice. And even when things starts, we don't even know when, you know, people are going to start having meetings and all that stuff. So, you know, just stay tuned for that. But that's what I'm thinking, and I'm normally right. What would prevent you from traveling at 21? You know, all else, everything is said and done. What would prevent you from getting on that plane and going and traveling somewhere? Or is it just the risk of getting COVID, not having the vaccination? I mean, those are legitimate things. That's probably what would avoid me from getting on a plane. That's for sure. So I was trying to get a vaccination last week, but didn't have an appointment. And, you know, when you're in line, you know, for hours, and all of a sudden the system goes down, like, oh, we're not going to take any walk-ins now, but if you had an appointment, we're going to take you. I mean, that was a situation that happened last week. So I was that close. I was within, I don't know, 100 yards of getting the shot, but it didn't work out. So, well, we're hopefully that's going to happen in the next week or so. So, and I'll keep you posted on that. Who's hiring? You know, I've been doing this last couple of weeks, or first of the year, I've been doing this who's hiring kind of thing, just to kind of, you know, let people know that, just in case they weren't looking at some of the websites that, you know, hire hospitality people, that, you know, maybe I'll just bring that up, and maybe it'll prompt you to go to the website, right? So that's what I'm doing. Anonymous is looking for, anonymous, that means we don't know who it is, right? Anonymous Hotel is looking for a DOM, a director of marketing. A unique lifestyle hotel is rebranding. It's going to have an urban design oasis, unlike any other hotel in the market. It's here in LA, offering experiences for the LA creative. Okay, so it's one of those, you know, high end, maybe, well, it says unique lifestyle boutique hotels, right, in LA. probably downtown or West Hollywood. Those are, that would be two of my guesses. I don't know the hotel, but I'm just going to take a wild guess. Downtown LA or West Hollywood, new hotel going up. That's just what I'm saying. The ideal candidate will have prior success executing public relations and marketing strategies across all channels, both domestic and international. Prior opening experience as a director of marketing preferred, expert at existing and new social media platforms. They just named me in this whole thing. Okay. So they're looking for Russell of hotels. That's what they're looking for to manage this, their marketing at this hotel. Just so you know, but that's a position that's open. And I always look at certain things in here, unique lifestyle hotel. Okay. So unique lifestyle, urban design. What does that mean? Was in a hood? What does urban mean? What is the definition of urban? I got to look that up because I'm not really sure what that even means. So urban hotels, an urban area. But what does that mean, urban? Is that downtown? It must be downtown. So it has to be. See that? See, this process of elimination, you know, you come up with it. So if it's an urban hotel, it has to be downtown because there's nothing else urban but downtown LA. I'm just joking. I love LA. I love LA. 24/7. This is the next job. 24/7, which is a hotel management company or ownership company, is looking for an opening GM at the new Holiday Inn Express in Suisun. It's in Northern California. It's about 50 miles from Sacramento. I remember because I used to live in Sacramento and I used to drive to the Bay Area, and it's on the way. I think it's past Vacaville, but before like Vallejo, somewhere around there. It's off the 80 freeway. So it's off the 80. So if you're in Sacramento, you take 80 west, I believe. There you go. Yeah, I remember. So I always said Suisun, and I guess that's maybe what it is. But anyway, maybe someone else will say something else. But anyway, they're looking for a GM, new Holiday Inn Express in Suisun, and 83 rooms. As the GM, this is their description, right? 83-room hotel. As a GM, you will help us craft inspired workplaces that enable our associates to deliver a kick-ass guest experiences and maximize investor returns. Kick-ass. Wow. That's okay. I want to work there. Okay. If they're kicking ass and they're kicking ass and delivering great, exceptional guest experiences, that's the place I want to go. Who would want to work there? So they actually also have a position as a GM at the new Cambria in Calabasas. Calabasas is north of LA, so it's about an hour or so north of Los Angeles off the 101 freeway. So just so you know, Calabasas, I think that's where the Kardashians and Will Smith, all them, they live out in the Calabasas area. So yeah, just point of reference. What is your SSI number? What is your SSI score? I've been talking about this because I think it's important that we, you know, stay focused on what we're doing as far as, you know, LinkedIn and all the other social media platforms. SSI, Social Selling Index, measures the impact of your social selling efforts with LinkedIn and how effective you are at establishing your professional brand. My score is 70 out of 100, right? So I'm in the top 1%, and it hasn't changed yet. Still the same numbers, right? And I'm glad it hasn't gone down because I thought I was on this slope that was going down. Top 1% in the industry. I'm in the top 1% of the hospitality industry, okay? So I rank in the 1%. Top 4% in my network. So if I have 26,000 people in my network, I rank in the top 4% of that. So, and then it gauges four categories: establishing your professional brand, which I got 21 out of 25, find the right people, which, you know, you connect with, which I got 14.3 out of 25, that's an F, engage with insights, 11 out of 25, that's below an F, and then build relationships, which I got 25 out of 25. You can't get no better than that, right? So that's what it does. It just kind of helps you see where you are as far as, you know, your networking capabilities, how you're able to reach people. Do you engage? I mean, those things all matter. So if you go, say if you're on LinkedIn and you're just liking things, it doesn't really matter as far as your ranking. You need to, you know, click, make comments. You can still like it, but, you know, click the comment button and then start typing. you know, well, what does this mean to you? You know, Russell, Fotels, all that guy's a jerk, blah, blah, blah. You know, that helps out your ranking. So although, you know, some would differ, is Russell really a jerk or not? I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know. That's okay. Business makeover. Last week, oh, check this out. I'm really excited to talk about this, right? Last week, and I think I mentioned it, that Miss Michelle Carlin, who is with Alignment Advising, alignmentadvising.com, you want to email her, Michelle@alignmentadvising.com. I have to throw that out there before I forget. So she's a business consultant, right? So I know I needed some help, right? So she's been on the show before. So she gave me a 30-minute free consultation. Okay. So I did the 30 minutes and she was able to just poke some holes and stuff I wasn't doing. Okay. She went through my website, which I needed somebody with fresh eyes. And that's, you know, a concept that we used to use at, was it Interstate Hotels? They call it fresh eyes. Okay. So fresh eyes meant, you know, you bring a general manager from another hotel who's never been to your hotel before and kind of give you a different perspective of your operation, you know, kind of a overall, he can hover over your operation and see exactly what's going on, right? And because if you're working and you're at the hotel day in and day out for several years, you don't see some of the things that have been neglected or things you weren't thinking about. So fresh eyes in that respect is, you know, someone coming in and physically looking at your property. Fresh eyes from the standpoint of Michelle helping me out, kind of the same thing where she came in and kind of evaluated my website, evaluated some of the things I was doing as far as my company is concerned. She had asked a lot of questions, you know, what am I trying to do? Because one thing I was having issues with is that I wasn't sure that people knew what I did because, you know, reading my website and, you know, the certain page and certain tabs and everything like that, I was like, well, do people really know what I do? So she looked at it and said, you know, there's kind of some, you know, some gray area. So she kind of devised a plan for me. I implemented it. And guess what? I redid the content of the website. So check it out. Go to russellofhotels.com and you can see it's more specific. It's more defined. And she did a great job. So there you go. So she actually, like I said, she took it. She looked at it. She gave me notes. In fact, I have the notes right here. She gave me like 3 pages of notes. You know, you should, you know, think about this, think about that. But I'm not going to tell you exactly what she did because, you know what, if you need help, and it's okay to ask for help. See, that's the thing. I think that's we get our egos, you know, we start our own business, you know, I can do everything myself. Guess what? You can't. Okay. You can't. You just can't do it. So I always say things that you're good at, do. Things that you're not good at, get somebody to help you. So it's okay to get someone to help you. Okay. Cause you can only go so far by yourself, especially when you have we have a community of, you know, business owners, entrepreneurs or whatever. And Michelle's one of those, and she's one of my tribe. She's in my circle of people that I would call and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? So, but she actually went in and just kind of just looked at it. And believe me, it took longer than 30 minutes. Okay. So she gave me the free consultation. And then of course, you know, there was a fee involved. So don't think it's all, you know, you're going to get this for free. I didn't get it for free. So you shouldn't get it. You know, it's consulting. Okay. You need to invest in your business. And that's what I said. You know, I need to invest in my business because I'm leaving money on the table somewhere. So I said, well, let me, you know, hire someone that can give me, you know, that'll be completely honest. She's not trying to hurt my feelings. She don't care if she hurts your feelings, right? So like, okay, this is what I think about that. This sucks. This is okay. Blah, 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 blah. And there you go. So thank you so much, Miss Carlin. I do appreciate that. Once again, Michelle Carlin, if you need a business, I call it a business makeover. If you need resume makeover, if you need anything like that, contact Michelle. And I'm telling you, it will be money well spent because she'll keep you focused. She kept me on task for those 2 or 3 days that we're doing this. And I can call her if I had any questions about something else. I can call her and say, hey, what did you think about this? Or did I do this correctly or whatever? So I think if you have a business, if you're maybe just trying to restart your career, I think you would benefit greatly from talking to Michelle. Okay. So there you go. So I had to take some time and talk about that because I'm really serious about that. And she seriously helped me out. And I do appreciate that. So once again, Michelle Carlin, she's with Alignment Advising, and that's alignmentadvising.com. Her email, if you want to reach her, and I mentioned this a little while ago, I'll mention it again, Michelle, and that's M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, at alignmentadvising.com. She, and her thing is she keeps people aligned. You know, if you're out of alignment, I put you in line, you know, like say your back was out of line, you know, she adjusts you so you're back in line. So that's what she said. I went with it, right? It sounded good to me. I'm like, okay, all right, align my business, okay, because I need it. So, okay, so, and then one other thing she asked me to do, she said, you have a blog that has not been, I hadn't done anything since like last year, right? So somebody just text me. I just mentioned my website. Someone's looking at it and already I misspelled something. Okay. I guess I need to put some spell check on something. Okay. Thank you very much, Marsha Edmond, for pointing that out for me. I will take care of that as soon as the show is over. Okay. So, but you have to admit it looks good though, right? But she had looked at my blog and said, hey, it's outdated, right? Meaning it wasn't up to date. I had not updated it in probably, I mean, since last year, I'm going to say 6 months or so. So she said, you don't necessarily have to, it was hotel related stuff. She goes, why don't you, you know, write something about what's going on now, what people may need to know now to travel. I'm like, okay, that's a good idea. So I came up with a few topics and I did three of these blogs. Okay. I did these, when she mentioned that. So over the weekend, and I just did one today as well. So I need you to go check them out. So one is how to sanitize a room. You know, you travel, right? We're hoping that the hotel does their job and cleaning that room, right? But you walk in, I'm sure the, you know, sanitize rag and to start cleaning because you just never know, right? So you go to the hotel, of course you're going to do that, right? So make sure you take something. You have, the little sanitize rags, you know, come in a little plastic thing or a bottle, whatever. Make sure you have those on hand all the time, especially if you're flying international. But anyway, how to sanitize a room. That was one thing, one blog that I did. It was like a couple steps that you can take. Number two was planning a small gathering. Follow these precautions. So if you want to, you know, if you even doing this at home, I mean, there's certain protocols you need to do at home as well. Let people know that, hey, you need to wear a mask, you need to keep your distance, but make sure they have, you know, sanitized stations and rags and, you know, things like that, or access to a bathroom, restroom, whatever it is, you need to make sure those things are acceptable. Three, 20 things that should be in place before your next hotel stay. Now, the hotels, you know, we think they're going to do everything, right? And 9 out of 10 hotels are doing everything, but sometimes things fall through the cracks. So you want to make sure, look at those 20 things. These are things that should be in place before you get there. And if they're not, you need to check the hotel. Like, hey, Russell of Hotel said this should be done and it's not. So what are you going to do for me? So, yeah. So just make sure you're checking these things out. Okay. Is your hotel open? I ask this every week. Is your hotel open or did you go back to work? Create some FOMO. Make sure you create some FOMO. Fear of missing out is what that means. Hashtag fear of missing out. Okay. So in order for us to get people back to traveling and all that kind of stuff, we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can. And showing people where we are is one way of creating it. Just like, look at my backdrop. You know, I'm at the Hotel Maya in Long Beach. Okay. So you see water, you see clouds, you see palm trees. Who doesn't want to come to Southern California, right? You know what? It's been like 80 degrees. Well, today I think it's a little cooler, but the last 3 days it's been like 80 or over 80 degrees. It's crazy because I don't like unseasonably warm weather, okay? If it's January, it need to be cold, okay? I don't need 80 degrees in January. But, you know, when you live in Southern California, that's just, you just got to deal with it, right? So I hate it, you know. I would much rather be like, some Green Bay weather or, you know, DC weather. Weather, you know, not the climate in DC, the weather is what I'm talking about. So I need cooler weather, but it's 80 degrees here, 80 degrees, 80. So thus I'm creating some FOMO. Okay. So come to Long Beach, come to the Hotel Maya, have a drink on the veranda with me. So there you go. Use social media consistently to get your message out. Whatever your product or service is, stay relevant, and it should be a huge part of your marketing strategy. Just remember that, and that goes with the creating FOMO, right? Non-meat eats. You guys know I'm all about non-meat eats, right? I don't eat meat. I have a plant-based diet 100%. I don't stray away from that. Okay, so, you know, every week I'll try to maybe share some things that I had the week before or what I'm going to have, but I just heard about this. And this may have been out already. You know, I drink a lot of almond milk, right? So now they came up with some flax milk. You know what flax seed is? It's kind of, I don't know. It's one of the superfoods or something like that. So they have flax milk now. I didn't even know that. I just happened to be reading. I get this Vegan Today newsletter that comes out, I don't know, probably every day or every other day, something like that. So I just saw this and it said, now they have this flax milk, comes in vanilla, same flavors that the other plant-based milk comes in, but it's flax milk. So maybe I have to try this out, let you guys know what it tastes like. So I don't know. We'll see. But I drink it with my cereal, my oatmeal, whatever. I just like regular milk, right? My smoothies, everything, right? I just don't drink regular milk. I drink plant-based milk. So flax milk is a new one. So check it out. You see it in the store. You remember that Russell of Hotels said it. So you got to try it. And then let me know. Send me a, you know, email or DM me or whatever you want to do. Sweet potato. I've been into this sweet potato thing, right? So baked sweet potato. So I've been eating sweet potato, mixed vegetables, and they can be, it can be broccoli, it can be onions, green peppers, kale, collard greens, whatever it is, spinach. I'll mix it all together, saute it with these Ethiopian spices. Oh my God, this stuff is so good. So I'm into this sweet potato thing now. So the last 3 days I've been eating baked sweet potato, mixed vegetables. And then I made some white beans, like navy beans, white beans. I guess they're what navy beans or white beans, I guess, whatever. But I eat a lot of beans. Beans have a lot of protein. Okay. So that's what I eat. That's what a lot of plant-based people would eat. They eat a lot of beans, right? So there you go. And then veggie sausage. I combine all that stuff together. That's a meal. It's grub. Vegan cornbread. I found this recipe for vegan cornbread that is so... It tastes like... I mean, it has the consistency because sometimes you make some of these things. Like, I'll just give an example. I have this recipe for vegan pancakes. The pancakes, they're so thin. Right? They're not like fluffy like they should be. And that maybe I'm missing an ingredient. Maybe I need to find another recipe. But sometimes some of the things that you try to recreate, they don't come out like they normally do. Well, this cornbread comes out, it's thick, it's airy, it's fluffy, it's sweet, it's good. Put some vegan butter, plant-based butter on it, and it's grub. Okay. So I'm gonna make some of that today, but I made some last week. It was like cake. These people were eating it like it was like cake. They wanted to put frosting on it. You know what I mean? It was that good. I'm serious. It was that good. So you need to try that. And then Taco Tuesday. Last week I made cauliflower tacos. Oh, man. So you cut up the, we buy the cauliflower. It's in a bag, right? So it has little florets. So you chop up those florets, right? And where you have bigger chunks than if you got the rice cauliflower. I mean, that's not, rice cauliflower is not good for tacos, just so you know, all right? But if you get the whole ones, the floor caramelized with the onions and peppers, and then you throw your seasoning on it, you're talking about something good, okay? Whew. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, you need to try it. So anyone that, you don't even have to be a plant-based eater, just try something different. Just try this out. I guarantee you, you'd be like, you may not try it ever again, but you at least say, you know what? That was good. That was all right. I never thought it would taste like that. That's the only thing I'm trying to go for. You would say something like, oh, I never thought it would taste that like that or taste that good. I would try that again. You know, that kind of thing. I'm not going to make it, but if you made it for me again, then I would try it. You know, and that's all I want. Okay. We're good. Right. So, but try that. cauliflower tacos, or cauliflower, you can put it in a burrito, whatever, throw it over a salad, whatever. It kind of gets minced up and, oh my God, it's good. And let me stop talking about it before I get hungry. And I was thinking about making some today, but I don't know. We'll see. We're going to do tacos. I'm just not sure if I'm going to do the cauliflower again since I did it last week. But man, it doesn't last. I mean, you eat it and it's just like, it's like Lay's, you know, Lay's chips. You can't just eat just one, you know. You can't just eat one taco. Next thing I'm eating like 10, you know, and that's not good. And these are not street tacos. These are regular sized tacos, right? So I don't need all that. And people think, okay, I was going to say something about this, but people think, okay, oh, you're vegan, you're plant-based. You need to be, you know, people need to be skinny if they're plant-based and vegan. That's not true, because I just said I can eat 10 tacos, right? So the tortillas, they have a lot of carbs in them, right? You know, depending on the type of tortilla. So if you eat a lot of bread, drink a lot of beer, you do all this stuff, it's all vegan, it's all plant-based, but that doesn't mean you're not going to gain weight. It's just, you know, everything in moderation. Just remember that. Everything in moderation. You still got to work out. I still have to work out. Yeah, I feel a lot better. Food digests a lot better, easier. Yeah, I feel that way. You know, one thing that I noticed, that if I'm sore, it doesn't last long. Opposed to when I was eating meat, you know, soreness could last several days. But now it doesn't last. My recovery time is a lot less now. Because I play basketball, right? I shoot baskets in my backyard. And my court is on concrete. Now, before, when I was eating meat, I mean, my knees would definitely hurt, right? I mean, sore can be a week, right? But now that I change, and you know, this whole vegan thing, I may be sore. Like, say, if I didn't play shoot around every day, like say if I missed a day and you go back to playing, then you get a little sore. Doesn't happen anymore. Shot yesterday, shot the day before, haven't shot today yet, but I'm not sore at all. Not sore at all. And I can only relate it back to the fact that my diet has changed, right? So vegan. Have you ever seen this? There's this documentary. It's not What the Health. It's Game Changers. Okay, look at that on Netflix. And it specifically talks about professional athletes changing their diet and going to a vegan diet and how their recovery time changed, you know, from injuries, because every football player gets hurt. Okay. Now you can't tell me they don't get hurt, but any nagging injury that they had, they healed quicker opposed to when they ate meat. So check it out. It's called Game Changers on Netflix. Okay. So check it out. In fact, there was five to seven players from the Tennessee Titans that are on there that changed their diet. They didn't change their muscle mass. They're a lot more ripped, cut up, if you will. And their strength was still just as good as they ate meat. Eat to build muscle. No, that's a myth. You don't need that. Okay. Look at me, right? I don't eat meat. Look at me. Okay. I told you I was on one today. Are you reinventing yourself? Are you swerving? The best way to predict the future is to invent it yourself. Contact information, how you get a hold of Russell of Hotels, Russell at russellofhotels.com. Twitter, I'm at Russell of Hotels. IG, which is Instagram, I'm at Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, I have two of those, Russell L. Edman and Russell of Hotels. Facebook, I have two of those as well, Russell L. Edman and Russell of Hotels. YouTube channel, I have one of those too. My sister's like, you have a YouTube channel? Yeah, hello. How can Russell of Hotels be Russell of Hotels without a YouTube channel? So go please to Russell of Hotels YouTube channel and subscribe if you wouldn't mind. Marsha just did. Finally. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So I need to get that number up. I need to get to like 1,000. I'm like 10. Okay. So I got a little work to do. So help me out. Let's see. What else? Oh, my website, russellofhotels.com. And remember what I said, this is a live show, but it becomes a podcast later. And check out the website, because I changed some of the tabs around. You can look at partnership stuff. You can look at sponsorship stuff, whatever, you know, who I am, what I do, where'd I come from, all that kind of stuff. You can look at it, maybe a couple of typos, because Marsha just pointed out some typos I had on it, but that's okay. We'll fix it after here, okay? And thank you for checking it, because you always need somebody to proofread things. And I didn't do it. And we got people, who are our feeder cities? We got people from all over the world that watch this show. Last week, someone chimed in from the UK. Was she from UK? She's from London. Yeah, she's from London. So people chime in from all parts of the world to check out On Air with Russell of Hotels. So just keep that in mind. If you're looking to do something different, looking to, what is it called? You want to be a disruptor of the status quo. That's what it's all about. Being on the show, showing, your brand, talking about your brand, how you start in this industry. That's being a disruptor of the status quo. Just sitting back and waiting for stuff to happen. You're not being a disruptor. You're just being a pretender. Don't be a pretender. Be a disruptor. Okay. So that's all I got to say about that. Brand, what is the Russell Hotels Group? Branding. I'm focusing on branding, digital marketing via social media, help build your brand presence through videos, through postings. I manage, hotels, their social media. I do all that kind of stuff. And it says it on the website. So check that out. I'm a radio show host. So I interview hospitality professionals. I talk, about hospitality things, topics, but that's not all that I do, meaning I can help any business out as far as marketing and things like that. I can help any business out. It's just that because all my experience or most of my experience has been in the hospitality industry, that's what I kind of focus on. And that's what goes to the forefront because that's where my experience comes from. But that doesn't mean that's the end all be all that Russell can only do things for hotels. No, Russell can do things for any business. But yeah, hotels are, starting hotels 30 years ago. Come on. Hello. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not that old, but yeah, 30 years ago, believe it or not. Collaboration and connecting to people. So that's my job, is to connect people within the industry, outside the industry, with people outside the industry, with people in the industry, right? People call me like, hey, do you know this person? I noticed you're LinkedIn with them. Yeah, I know that person. Yeah, I can connect you. So I do virtual introductions, all that kind of stuff. So that's what it's all about, right? It's all about sharing your experience. Someone asked me, would you go back on property? I said, well, it would have to be something great. I wouldn't just go back for anything, because sometimes you think that, you can, the knowledge that you have amassed over the years is better suited for the masses, not just for one particular company or one hotel. Okay. So with this, me doing my own thing, I can help out many hotels, many people, right? Instead of focusing on that one hotel and that one market and things like that. So you only learn so much, right? And I've been to 14 different hotels, right? So in the sales, I think out of the 14 hotels, probably 10 of those were in the sales capacity. So I worked 10 different markets, right? So every market is different. Downtown is different than suburban. Suburban is different than airport. You know what I mean? So I never did a resort. Okay. So business hotel versus a leisure hotel. So, I mean, you get a lot of experiences, and I don't think there's anything that has happened that I have not. You can't tell me that, this happened, that has this ever happened to you? Yeah, probably so. People dying in a hotel. Yeah, done that. So a lot of experience, right? So I think it's just better. My experience level is just better suited for more than one hotel. So that's why I do what I do. How's your professional? Did I say this already? Connecting and collaboration of people. But number one, I ask this every week. How is your professional and personal brand staying relevant? What do you do to create some FOMO or just to be relevant? Are you doing anything? Are you posting things? I post stuff all the time, right? It can be food. If it's not food, it's hotels. If it's not hotel, it's food. Okay, so those are things that I post, or if it's nature. The other day, I just took a picture of this monarch butterfly. Okay, it was just beautiful. It was just there flying around, and it landed, and it was stationary, and it was just flapping its wings. I'm going to post that later. It was just magnificent. And you know what I'm doing now? And I got this idea from Nikki Weaver. Nikki Weaver lives in Memphis, Tennessee. She's a daughter by the name of Nola. And two years ago, she posted this thing saying that her and her daughter, who was probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 years old, they're doing this monarch butterfly sanctuary. They're planting, because, and I didn't realize this, that monarch butterflies only eat milkweed plants. I'm like, what? They only eat one plant? That's it. They mate there. They lay their eggs and they eat. Monarch butterflies only eat milkweed plants. So, and I see them and you can tell that they're, I don't see as many as I used to, right? And because they migrate, you know, they migrate from, I want to say Mexico. So because of the milkweed has been plowed up or whatever, it's not being replanted, not regenerating or whatever, they're flying to try to find milkweed plants. So when she mentioned that on, and like I said, she posted this and I'm like, wow, that's interesting. So what I did was did my research. She was right. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna do that too. I'm gonna help out the monarch butterfly. So that's what I did. I've been amassing plants, these milkweed plants. I think now I have about almost 10 milkweed plants. So, and I've seen I see more monarch butterflies around. So someone's doing their job. So thank you so much, Nikki Weaver and Nola, for that little tidbit of information. You know, that was off of what I'm talking about, but I think it's important, right? It's okay to mix it up. It's my show. I can mix it up. I can talk about nature and monarch butterflies and milkweed plants. So that was good. So I got that from Nikki. So thank you so much, Nikki. I don't know if you listen to the show, but thank you so much. Anyway, knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would do differently based on this whole COVID thing? What would you do differently? Number three, have you connected with anyone new lately? Have you reached out to people? You know, maybe it doesn't have to be new people. Maybe it's old people. I mean, not old people as in seniors, but people that you haven't talked to in a while, right? You know, reach out. I have this thing. If someone comes to mind and I haven't talked to them in a while, I got to pick up the phone and call them or email them. That's what I do, right? In fact, I just reached out to Joe Carrillo. He didn't call me back. You know, hopefully everything's okay. But I reached out to him. He was an old GM and friend of mine from Marriott days. So I hadn't heard from him in a while. So I reached out to him. I thought I had his number, but I didn't. I emailed him and he may not be working. I don't know, but I reached out to him. I'm going to keep doing it until I find out what's going on. So if someone crosses your mind, pick up the phone and call them or email them. Number four, has this situation taught you? Has it taught you anything? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I don't know. Hotels, are you selling differently? Are you marketing more or less? Are you keeping your brand in front of your competition? Okay, so you have to stay on top of your competition. I put out a post a couple of days ago, and it's had to do with competition. I think it said, find out what your competition is doing and do something else. Boom, drop the mic. There you go. All right, so find out what your competition is doing. Do something else. At least do something. Competition is doing something, right? So you got to do something contrary to them. You know, you have to disrupt that to happen, or do you make things happen? Do we wait for the phone to ring, or do we make the phone ring? Are we proactive or are we reactive? Just remember those things. I had a quick little thing to talk about, and it has to do with interviews. You know, we don't do interviews in person anymore. We do Zoom interviews, and it just kind of, I've been on Zoom calls and interviews. Now, if it's a personal thing, then that's fine. You know, you dress how you want to dress. But I've been on some professional, you know, it's a group of people and people in there just, you know, they just dress how they want to dress. You know, I guess you can do however you want to do, right? But people remember that stuff, right? So you want to make a lasting impression. That's why I wear a coat, a jacket every week, because someone, Michelle Carlin, a while back said, you know what, you should wear a jacket. You look better. It looks more professional. She just kind of threw that out there, you know, a tidbit of information. And then she dropped the mic and walked off. I said, I'm going to think about that. And that's what I did. From that day on, I did, other than the time when I'm showing off something like my new sweatshirt that I had on the other day, I didn't wear a jacket that day. So, I mean, there's certain days that I won't because it's going to be a theme day. But normally I have a jacket. I want to look professional. So thank you so much again, Michelle, for throwing that out there. But, Zoom interview. So this is real quick advice for candidates. I have one for, you know, employers as well. Test your tech. Okay. Make sure your internet connection and video conferencing program are both working well prior to the interview. You want to make sure that, you know, if you're going to do a Zoom call, you want to make sure your Zoom is working, right? Call someone else and test them. Make sure the sound is right. Make sure they can see you. I mean, those things are important, right? The last thing you want is to get on and you got your internet connection is shoddy. You know, it's like going in and out and all that stuff. At least you'll know ahead of time. Maybe you can correct it before, right? I would do that like an hour before. I'm one of those people that, you know, want to do it, you know, I want enough time. So if it doesn't work, I need to try to make it work before I get on this call. Because you only get one time, right? You only get one shot to make a great interview, all right? Make a great impression. Dress appropriately. I just talked about dressing for success is no less important for a remote interview. Dress smartly like you would for an in-person interview and ensure your surroundings are tidy, okay? I've seen, okay, I was on a call yesterday, and this is a family thing, right? But you look at some of the people's, the background, you know, unmade bed and all that kind of thing, a position or a room. If you got to put up something, if you have to put a screenshot, just like a backdrop like I do, that way you can't see what's in back of me. A green screen is in back of me. If you didn't have that, you would see a green screen. But you want to make sure, you know, it's tidy, it looks good. It's not, you know, people aren't running around in the background, things like that. So you just want to make sure that it looks tidy because they're measuring you on everything. Not just about how you're answering their questions, but, you know, they say, well, if, you know, if he's a mess there, he's going to be a mess at work. Come on. You know, you don't do that. So make sure you put your best foot forward because you only get one chance to make a lasting impression. Be prepared. Do your homework just as if you were on any other interview, rehearsing your responses to key interview questions and preparing your own questions for the interviewer. Be personable. Make eye contact, right? Look in the camera. Like I'm looking, you know, eye contact. Smile often. And generally engage with the interviewer to demonstrate your enthusiasm for the role. I mean, you can still see, people can still see you, right? They can still see your gestures, your hand gestures and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, when they're talking, you know, you want to make sure you're listening. Remove distractions. Ensure you're fully engaged with your interviewer by removing all distractions, including your smartphone. So you don't want your phone to be going off. So make sure it's on silent or turn it off, right? And make sure there's no music going on. TV's not going on. If you know your neighbors allow, make sure you close the doors if you can. You want to eliminate any distractions you can, any and all distractions. Follow up. Send a follow-up note to your interviewer thanking them for your time. I mean, that's what you would normally do anyway, right? So why would it differently? Zoom is just another way of communicating to people where they can visually see you, right? But that doesn't mean we let our hair down. That doesn't mean we, you know, we act silly because we're, oh, you know, I'm at home because of COVID. Oh, so I'm just going to do anything. No. You still have a level of professionalism that is expected. So just make sure we're doing everything we can. Advice for interviewers, be prepared. Familiarize yourself and other interviewers with the candidate's resume and the job description to give the virtual interview the formality of an in-person one. Excuse me. Likewise, keep the candidate informed on who they'll be interviewing with so they can prepare questions of their own. And of course, check your tech. Same thing for them on the end, you know, the company that's interviewing you, they need to check their tech as well. Because you don't want to work for a company, God, I'm working for this Fortune 500 company and their, you know, their tech is whack. You know, their internet connection is whack. You know, you don't want that. Have a strategy. Think carefully about the skills and attributes you're looking for in a candidate and design questions that dig into each one. Now, this is my advice for the interviewers. Communicate openly. Keep candidates well-informed at each stage of the interview process. Without being able to give them a warm and in-person reception is exceptionally important to show them their time and efforts are valued. So, you know, don't rush through the interview. Don't, you know, act like, oh, I got someone else to go. I got to go to lunch. And you want to give them the time just like you gave the first one. Doesn't matter if it's the first one, the middle one, or the last interview. Make sure you're giving them and you're devoting them the proper time. You're not rushing them, you're not doing any of that, because that's not fair for them as well. Remove distractions, just like remove distractions for us, right? For the person being interviewed, be respectful to the candidate and position yourself away from distractions, including your smartphone, as you would in an interview, an in-person interview. So you just want to make sure phone is off or phone is away, phone is on mute, phone is silent, however you want to put it. Make sure that stuff is in place. Reinforce employer brand. Ensure interviewers at all stages of the recruitment process convey a consistent message about the company's mission and values. So if there's multiple people, because a lot of times you interview and you're interviewing with multiple people, right? Excuse me, I need a drink of water. So you'll be interviewing with multiple people. So you're going to make sure you're all singing from the same, you know, music note or whatever, same sheet of music. Okay. So you just want to make sure you're on the same accord. So you want to make sure you get a little powwow before you start interviewing. Hey, I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about that. And then that way the message is consistent through all people that are interviewing this one candidate or a potential candidate. Give the candidate time. Pause to ensure the candidate is done with their response before moving on to the next question. To account for time lags and lack of unusual social cues. Well, sometimes, you know, I'm talking, like when I interview, I want to make sure they're finished, because sometimes there's a lag in time, you know, time lapse. You know, I may say something, you know, and you can still hear something. And then they're like talking over you or you're talking over them. So make sure, you know, you give them enough time to answer the question before you go on to the next one. Okay. So that's it. You know, that was easy. I got on late and I'm still finished at 2:00 because I'm a professional. That's what I do. But anyway, thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. I do appreciate your time and I apologize for getting on a little late, but you know, stuff happens, but the show must go on and the show will go on. So once again, thank you so much. Be a disruptor. Okay. It's okay to be a disruptor, you know, and I mean that from a marketing standpoint. You know, because people, they get laxed on what they do as far as a marketing thing that they're doing everyone else does, right? And you don't remember things that everyone else is doing, okay? So you got to be disruptive. You got to do something different. You got to blow up something. You got to get your message across somehow. You got to come on air with Russell of Hotels. That's being disruptor. That's being a disruptor, okay? Because everyone's not doing it. Think about that. How many people come on the show? I mean, I get, if I do 50 shows in a year, I may do 26 to 30 interviews, okay? So everyone's not doing a show. Everyone doesn't have a show like this, okay? So last count, I think there was like 3 shows like this, okay? So, and I'm number one, all right? So if you want to come on the show and, you know, show what you, you know, talk about what you, who you are as a whatever, hotelier, as a whoever you are, influencer. Whatever you are, come on the show, talk about it. And hey, that's what I would do. Be a disruptor. So anyway, thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. We'll see you next Tuesday at 1:00 for show number 92. Once again, you take care. Today's Taco Tuesday. I'm going to do, I don't know. I don't know what kind of tacos I'm going to do, but guess what? You're going to find out about it next week. So go out and do something fun. Be safe. Stay healthy. And do the right thing. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at Russell@RussellOfHotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.